B-Pod Studios.
Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
We'll start in Florida with a Florida man story. He has reportedly been hospitalized due to injuries he received after sticking his arm in a jaguar pen at the Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens.
What is it with these people?
Witnesses said that the unidentified man, who is described as being in his 20s, had taunted the big cat
before
jumping over a barrier at the range of the jaguar exhibit and inserting his hand into an enclosure.
All right, this just got real.
A jaguar then clawed the man's arm, leaving zoo employees a trail of blood to clean up after emergency workers bandaged the man and transported him to the hospital.
Jaguars are beautiful animals, by the way.
The zoo director...
I'm on the jaguar side.
Dan Maloney said, "This is an individual that wasn't using his head. He stuck his hand in through the mesh that separates the jaguars from the outside." And then he added, "The incident would have been a very different story if the animal had been able to secure a stronger grip on the man. Probably would have started to eat his arm."
Absolutely. So how does that evening begin? Hey, you want to go to the zoo and piss off the jaguars?
I don't know. Zoo officials said that the jaguar that attacked the man is perfectly fine and that there was no indication that the man's actions meant that he was trying to hurt the jaguar. The zoo was closed on Tuesday night while staff investigated how the man was able to breach the barrier, and it was not clear whether the jaguar exhibit would be open the following day.
Hey, let's go insult meerkats.
Police say a Yakima, Washington man is under arrest after he shot his refrigerator, believing someone was shooting at him after a soda can had exploded.
Oh, okay. So he shot the refrigerator?
Yep. So officers responded to the scene on Saturday after receiving reports the man had opened fire at a refrigerator. When police arrived, they say they found the man outside the home in an alleyway yelling incoherently with a gun lying in the middle of the road. After he was taken into custody, police say witnesses told them what happened. The man had been placing soda cans into the fridge when one exploded. He immediately pulled the pistol out of his waistband and fired a round into the bottom of the refrigerator.
Draws a gun out and immediately starts shooting.
The man later told police in an interview that the people who live in the basement wanted to kill him and that they had shot at him, so he fired in self-defense. Now, investigators say there's no one that lives in the basement below the man, and that, in fact, there is no basement at all.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess. So that means I'm totally off base on this one, huh?
Police say the sound of the soda can popping is what the man thought was a gunshot. Police questioned the man about the gun, and he said that he had found it 2 weeks prior. The man was arrested and booked for second-degree unlawful possession of a firearm and discharge of a firearm.
I'm telling you that the people who live in the basement that doesn't exist want me dead, and that's why I shot the refrigerator.
All right, so here's that story that follow-up to the story I had in the entertainment news with Jean-Claude Van Damme, although he's not mentioned in this story at all.
He's kind of a big guy.
He was a part of it. French police have arrested two suspects after a thief took jewels worth between $1.7 and $2.5 million, maybe even more than that because these are in pounds. So it was
right.
$3 million, I believe, from an exclusive Paris store and then scooted off before the alarm could be raised. The two suspects were arrested in eastern France on Wednesday morning. Officers said a substantial part of the jewels stolen in the heist had been recovered. The man made his getaway on an electric scooter after reportedly threatening staff at the jewelers near the Champs-Élysées. The video shows the alleged thief, gray-haired and wearing a light gray suit, arriving at the store. Shortly afterwards, he was filmed leaving the shop while a white bag of jewels and gemstones and departing on a green scooter that he had left parked outside.
Do what they say and no one will get hurt.
Steph told police the lone man had at first pretended to be a customer, asking to see various pieces of expensive jewelry before drawing a knife. No one was injured in the robbery. Now, the interesting part that we had in the entertainment report earlier was that Jean-Claude Van Damme was apparently right next door at an optometrist, and a crowd had formed to gawk at him. Therefore, no one was looking at the guy
yes.
who was stealing the jewels and getting away, and it was a bit of a distraction.
Took an advantage of it.
And he was able to get out of there.
I am Jean-Claude Van Damme. This afternoon I will be at the Pearl Vision Center in Paris.
Yeah.
Come down and say hi to me.
The jeweler, which, by the way, was founded in 1780 and most famous for its flagship store near the Ritz Hotel, was previously robbed in 2009 when about $2 million worth of precious stones were stolen as well. So they've had some incidents before. Okay, so listen, the weird stories of the Jersey Shore continue.
Right.
Okay, so we had the plane landing on the causeway.
Right.
We had the boat running up onto the beach and scaring people, almost hurting people. Then we had, what was the other story?
The seagull in the face.
The seagull in the face on that ride.
Oh, my God. That was
all right,
hilarious.
Now this. A 44-year-old woman who stole an oil tanker in Camden County on Saturday was arrested more than 8 hours later and 80 miles away along the Jersey Shore after eluding police and getting into crashes in multiple towns. Casey,
yeah,
they got her at the Wawa on Rio Grande.
No way!
In Wildwood, yes. Wildwood police took Camille Westcott of Lawnside into custody in the parking lot of Wawa of the Wawa on West Rio Grande Avenue at 8:30 p.m.
She stole a tanker truck?
Yeah. When cops forced their way into the truck due to concerns that she would flee into the town congested with summer visitors. So this is a bit of a lengthy story. Westcott had checked her mirrors and stepped on the brakes as if she was planning to leave but was unable to get the tanker truck restarted. The strange incident began at 12:30 p.m. when Westcott stole the Taylor oil tanker in Belmar. Over the next few hours, Westcott led police in various towns on pursuits and was involved in several crashes, police said. Troopers were advised that the tanker's GPS placed it in the area of Buck Road, a short time later located the vehicle in Harding Woods, a trailer park.
Quick question, if I may here, Preston. Do these vehicles have standard transmissions or do they have automatic transmissions now?
That's a good question. I would imagine that they're stick.
Right. Yeah. Wouldn't you imagine?
Yeah. Well, I mean, lately they've been switching to automatic. Like school buses used to always be standard and now they're automatic.
What are the odds this woman gets behind the wheel and can drive this truck?
So state police tried to stop the truck, but Westcott fled onto Route 40. Troopers pursued the oil tanker for a short distance before calling it off. Now, details where other chases took place were not immediately available, but police in Wildwood were aware of the tanker throughout the day, but the first reports that they received only indicated that an erratic driver was on West Rio Grande Avenue. But it ended up being her, an oil tanker that she stole, driving all over New Jersey and ending up in Wildwood.
No.
And causing accidents along the way.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
Well, police in Waterloo have arrested a man after they say he fired the gun when a neighbor questioned whether it was real. The incident happened Sunday night when 42-year-old Tienzo Earl McNabb and his neighbor began arguing. Police say McNabb pulled a gun and pointed it at the neighbor. And when the neighbor accused McNabb of brandishing a BB replica, McNabb fired that very real handgun into the air. Police then showed up at McNabb's home and a brief standoff ensued before McNabb was arrested and charged with assault while displaying a weapon and being a felon in possession of a gun. So he is in trouble. A woman who secretly swapped 7 pebbles for $5.7 million worth of diamonds has been sent to prison for her role in the audacious heist at a luxury jewelry store in London's Mayfair district. Lulu Lakatos was sentenced to 5.5 years in prison after a jury found her guilty of conspiracy to steal. She was part of an international gang that fled to France after stealing the diamonds from Boodles, which is a gem store. And so they haven't recovered the diamonds yet.
Boodly, 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 boodly.
In the days leading up to the heist, the criminals held a series of meetings with Boodles staff on the pretense that they represented a wealthy Russian investor who was looking to purchase gems. Lakatos, who was born in Romania and lived in France, posed as a gem expert named Anna, who then went to Boodles to value 7 diamonds for the buyer. After she inspected the gems, which included a 20-carat heart-shaped diamond valued at more than £2.2 million, actually, then in money, it would have been closer to $3 million, they were individually wrapped and placed in a locked bag that was supposed to be held in the jeweler's vault until payment was received. But when Boodle's own expert became suspicious, the next day the bag was x-rayed and the store discovered nothing but 7 ordinary pebbles. She had done the switcheroo.
The old switcheroo.
Yeah.
Now that's a bold maneuver.
She used a distraction.
She said, look over there, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
There it is.
Yeah.
She used a distraction to swap the bag containing the diamonds for an identical one containing the pebbles before it was locked in the vault, according to a security camera video. After leaving the store, she handed the bag containing the diamonds to one of her female accomplices before ditching the long coat, hat, and scarf that she wore as a disguise and boarding a high-speed Eurostar train to France. She was arrested on a European arrest warrant last September and returned to Britain to stand for trial.
But man,
a hell of a heist.
Yeah.
A man who was wearing a mask was shot in the neck with a BB gun at an Omaha Aldi on Tuesday in an apparent confrontation over masks.
What's all these people carrying BB guns around for?
We had a guy kill somebody the other day with a BB gun. So Phil Anson, spokesman for the Omaha police, said that the incident occurred in the vestibule of the Aldi as one man was leaving and another man was entering.
Not something you do in a vestibule.
The man who wasn't wearing a mask ran up and spit at the man who was. The two men began scuffling and wrestling, and the unmasked man pulled out a pistol-type BB gun and shot the guy. The man who was shot said that he had injuries to his face, neck, and shoulder and had to pull a pellet out of his shoulder, so he got shot several times. He said, I asked him, why would you do that? And he said, you're on the other team.
God. Oh, man.
The unmasked man has been arrested on suspicion of felony, terroristic threats, and misdemeanor assault. All right, here is a follow-up to a story we had, might have been yesterday or the day before. So last week, a guy named Richard Tim Jesse told an almost unbelievable story to friends and locals at the Polar Cafe about his harrowing encounter with a grizzly that supposedly sank his ATV and stalked him for days.
We said what a nightmare that would be.
In an interview with the Gnome Nugget last week.
The Gnome Nugget?
Yeah, he went into detail reporting that a grizzly bear pounced on him while he was riding his ATV across Big Fork Creek in early July. The ATV, the trailer he was towing, and his phone sank to the bottom of the creek. He had said that he was able to fire a shot at the bear, which gave him enough time to flee for safety in his cabin, where he painted SOS, help me, on the roof. A passing Coast Guard helicopter rescued him 4 days later and transported him to Nome, where he was taken to the hospital. So the story about the bear attack apparently may be nothing more than a tall tale.
Son of a bitch.
So apparently the story went viral.
Credit the Gnome Nugget for getting to the bottom of this.
More details came to light about the incident. Some community members began to express concern and doubt about the veracity of the tale. The cabin Jesse took refuge in, as it turns out, was not his. It belonged to a fellow miner, though Jesse's cabin sat only a few yards away. An anonymous source said, we went out there to the cabin, but we couldn't find a bear track within 500 feet of the place. But it should have been all torn up, according to his story. He said there's no hair, no tracks, no scat, nothing. Mm-hmm. Heavy rainfall in the region throughout July created muddy conditions, meaning if a bear spent several days around the cabin, it would have left visible tracks. Also, the door to the cabin that the bear supposedly vandalized had been tampered with, the doorknob appearing to have been knocked off by a hammer, the source said.
Oh. So the bear had a hammer?
The sources also said that their trip out to the cabin left them with more questions than answers. When they got to the camp, the ATV and trailer were out of the water. Mm-hmm. They said he made a fool out of us. We found out that his story didn't match up what we found. The Big Fork Creek is around 8 feet deep at the point where Jesse was reportedly trying to cross on his four-wheeler, they said. Another gold prospector familiar with the area says Jesse knew just how deep and unpassable the water was and that they had pulled another ATV out of the water just 2 days before.
Jesse's mona.
Jesse had said the bear pushed on the bike is what she did. Uh-huh. He explained it during a follow-up interview on Tuesday. He said, it pushed me into a hole of deep water. That's pretty much what I remember. It was all so fast. The bear was mighty big, and I was in deep water trying not to drown. Jesse said the Can-Am winch on his four-wheeler still worked, and he was able to use it and some rope to get the ATV and trailer out of the water later. So that's what he claims.
Yeah.
Now, several miners came to the conclusion that Jesse had accidentally crashed his ATV and was embarrassed to admit it. And they suspect that there was never a bear involved. They said he had a legitimate reason for needing help, and the Coast Guard did a great job, and they were right to rescue him. But why did he have to make all this other stuff up? Other details Jesse provided, though, are dubious. The sources claim that they couldn't find any bear scratches or marks on the ATV.
Oh, come on.
But found a couple of grooves on the plywood covering of the trailer. He said you can ask anybody in Nome. That's looked at the pictures I have at the trailer. The scratch marks on the trailer looked like they were made with a screwdriver. Also, they said, this anonymous source said, There's just no way it was a bear.
Well,
he said also there was a cooler sitting on the ATV with 2 pounds of bacon, and it was completely untouched.
Oh, come on.
So there you go. They're saying that he made it
I think he's just lonely.
Maybe that was it, too. All right, and that is all I have in the Bizarre File for you now.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.